You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Gibbs, my song for today is going to be the NWO theme song. That is my new nomination. So when you were able to pull that up.
Another wrestling song.
Another wrestling one. But this is a great song. Some incorporates some Jimi Hendrix in it. And it's like, it's a Hugh World Order. It's a new world order. The Hugh World Order. The HWO. We should make some HWO. One of these Cleveland t-shirt companies, make that shirt. HWO, the Hugh World Order. And do it in a brown shirt with like the orange HWO. You know those NWO
shirts. My guys
shirts.
At GV Artwork got to be listening.
I mean, I feel
the
like
Losage Boys.
I would buy that shirt. I feel like if they do make it, I should get one. Extra large is my size. Thank you for the idea. But I feel like that'd be a great shirt.
So it's just the NWO entrance? Or
yeah, just the NWO entrance.
Got it.
You want to roll with it right now?
Give me a second. Yeah.
All right. What do you think about that song? Have you heard the NWO theme? Were you in the NWO? You knew the NWO, right?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
All right.
I mean, I know it if I heard it, but I couldn't tell you what it was.
Eric Edholm, by the way, is at the Senior Bowl right now and says, this is so funny in so many ways. Future All-Pro Carson Wentz really struggling today. It is amazing the hype. The hype in this offseason is so crazy. And one thing that I would say I think that I've learned in the last few years is the tape is the most important thing. The tape is your steak. You can add some nice fixings around it with the interviews and whatever, but the tape is the steak. And what I don't like is when people have their evaluations based on the tape and then those evaluations change so drastically and not for a personality reason. Like, let's say you find something, this guy's just a complete a-hole or he's never going to be focused. For a quarterback, it's never going to be the most important thing in his life. So you know the chances of success are diminished. That changes your evaluations. But if you're changing your evaluations on somebody based on pro days or things like that, to me, that's crazy.
Yeah, and I think it goes back to, you know, the pie graph that I think, you know, we created maybe even, you know, later in the offseason last year in reference to the combine and so on and so forth. And I would believe that 60% of what you evaluate is their body of work from their collegiate participation, meaning their tape, right? I'd say 15% is going to be them, you meeting them in person, how do they come off, their ability to answer those questions, you know, very, very well. And then the other whatever percentage left, 25% that's left, is going to be made up of if they play in an all-star game, their combine, their pro day, and so on and so forth. Because, you know, the whole Mike Mamula thing, you know, it's like the guy had a great workout and he gets drafted 6th overall by the Jets, and I've started more games in the NFL than he did, for God's sakes. You know what I mean?
Yes.
It just, you know, there's the workout warriors in the world. You look, I mean, a guy, another Buckeye, Vernon Goldston, remember him? You know, he was the Incredible Hulk, drafted 6th overall by the New York Jets. The New York Jets on a very good defense, couldn't make the fields and is out of the league.
Yeah.
You know? So, but I mean, and I know, but his tape was good. He was a workout warrior. Just Aaron Maben, another guy out of Penn State, didn't work out. Drafted high by the Buffalo Bills, I believe, right?
An interesting guy, yeah.
Yeah, interesting. Yeah, interesting guy, but drafted high, just didn't work out. So, for God's sakes, I think the Cleveland Browns are due to hit in the first round.
They're definitely due.
I mean, that's the one thing. Talking about everybody, it happens to everybody is the point that I want to make. It's happened to us too consistent, which has put us behind the eight ball as a franchise year after year.
Because, and we kind of heard a little bit, I'd say as close to a straight up allusion as to what happened was that you can't, if to have the type of failure the Browns have had in the first round means they've continually gone outside of their process to make those selections at the end of the day.
Yes.
And not stay to their process. If you stay to your process over time, you can't be that bad in the NFL.
No.
In the first round. The Jets may have drafted, for example, they drafted Golson, but they've also hit on Muhammad Wilkerson and Sheldon Richardson.
Correct.
And Leonard Williams. So
right.
You can't stick to your process, and hopefully good things will come your way.
Yeah, and I just think that to go along with your point, every business decision, every decision in life has a series of checks and balances, pros and cons. And the data that you accumulate, even as a football guy, not an analytical guy, you know, they either pass the eye test or they don't. You know, so
right.
And it's just very difficult. You're absolutely right that they've had to stray away from who they are.
Apparently, Wentz having a rough day, holding the ball too long, struggling, etc. But the guy today that all the tweets coming in about, dominating at the Senior Bowl, Braxton Miller, Andrew Siciliano saying Braxton Miller is making some serious money this week at the Senior Bowl.
That's right.
Fast twitch athlete. Scotty Buckeye, by the way, texting me saying that he's been told by his people Braxton is raw but legit 4-3 with the quickest twitch since Barry Sanders. Now remember, that's coming from Scotty Buckeye. But
so it's more like 4-4-5.
He believes.
And
no,
the quickest
speed is there.
No, I know.
He believes that Braxton Miller can climb the stairs, not take the elevator, climb the stairs, do the work to be a successful receiver in the National Football League.
I just, and here's my thing.
A weapon.
If you look around the National Football League and look what, and I know that Antonio Brown played wide receiver at his career, you know, what is it, Western Michigan, wherever he went.
Central Michigan.
Central Michigan, Chippewa. Sorry, they're all the same to me.
As somebody
Eastern,
who's 132nd
Northern
Chippewa, I would like you to remember the one college that is the Chippewa.
Are you not offended by the fact that they're using your, you know, Indian descent?
Not at all. I'm proud of it.
Good. Well, I, you look at Julian Edelman. You look at Wes Welker's road to his role in many good offenses. And I'm just saying that's why I could – why I asked that question to Gribbs, and I just said, hey, you know, it's going to be a luxury pick for a team that wins a lot of football games. That's not – they're not one player away from winning the Super Bowl, but they're one, you know, asset, they're one weapon away from changing the way the game is played. And I think to the same role that Ted Ginn has played for the Carolina Panthers.
Yeah.
You know, he stretches the field. You hit him on reverse. He's the punt returner. That's the role that I look for Braxton Miller to immediately play. Because Braxton Miller added on a bad team is going to be a wrinkle that you have to prepare for, but you're going to mash him out. Because
Absolutely.
Eventually you stop the run. You take away their deep threat, and then when you use Braxton, it's no surprise and he's going to get mashed and crushed, right? But
yes.
When you have a team full of weapons and you add him as a wrinkle player, which is the only role he's probably going to play and maybe a punt returner in year one in the National Football League, he can be a guy that makes waves, that breaks tendencies that you use to shake things up and keep defenses on their toes.
Well, you've been seeing just how – look how effective Ted Ginn's being this year. Ted Ginn's never been that effective as a wide receiver in the National Football League. And, yeah, if he gets in the right offensive situation and the right – where he can be utilized, as you said, as a mismatch-type player, I think he can be very, very effective. All right, we're going to take a break. We'll come back with the next nomination in the theme songs, the NWO theme. It's a Hugh World Order. I think it's just a natural. We'll see what you think right after this on Cleveland Browns Daily. Plus, mailbag. Use the hashtag AskCBD and get them into us right now. 216-578-0850. Segura. And, of course, Wilhelm. Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.
You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. On ESPN 850 WKNR.
I mean, if you're not making the Scott Hall arms right now, I don't know what's wrong with you. Or you want to come out, you got your feather boas on, Wilhelm. You ready for the Hulkster right here? You ready for the guitar? You ready? You remember this?
I do.
All right, here it goes. Yes! We got to get the one that's got the, like, where the guy says, like, new world order. So it's like Hugh World Order. Maybe I can do a recording for you, Gibbs. If the people want this, I'll do my own. I'll go,
Hugh World
Gibbs,
Order.
Gibbs, what do you think about this?
I don't like this.
I don't either.
Oh, my God. This is amazing.
For an open?
This is.
Like, this is how we want to open the show.
Absolutely.
This is how we want to set the tone for 2 hours.
Yes.
No.
No, it's not.
No, we can bump back from break. Everything that does not make the list.
I want to crawl underneath this desk and take a little nap.
Man Among God says yes on the NWO theme.
This
is now. It's not about the
NWO.
The NWO was great. The NWO walking out to this song was good. But for this show,
it go black and white. Oh my God.
We can do better.
We can do better.
I think you guys are crazy. We're talking the NWO theme against Fallout Boy. That's what we're talking about.
That's one of five.
This is fantastic. I can't read Adam Schwartz's comment about it, but he likes it. I can't read his comment, I don't think, but he likes it. All right. Listen, if you guys decide that this isn't here.
It's been decided.
You can decide that? All right.
No.
I want it for sure in our bump back music.
That's fine. That's what I mean. All of our music that does not make our lead becomes our bump back music.
Everything and all the bumper music will be changed as of Monday because we have a new voice guy because we have to make some changes.
What about, by the way, what do you think about the Wolfpack theme song, Gibbs? Do you like that one better?
It's all right.
It's all right.
I haven't been sold. I haven't been wowed on anything.
No, nothing's been wowing yet.
No, nothing's been like, that's it. Like last year when we debuted our song, it was like, that's it.
It was a good song.
It was a good song.
It was a good song last year. Yeah. We got to come up with something. All right. Well, still, we'll keep at it. I still got some more in the mix, some more in the hopper.
All right. Shall we do
Let's go in the mailbag. Yeah.
All right. There we go. Setting out a little music. Nothing like the finest in the mailbag tunes.
This is great.
You like that?
I like this. I feel like I'm in a game show.
All right, guys.
And the answer is...
Two names attached to the Browns, Jared Goff, Paxton Lynch. Neither has played in a climate similar to Cleveland. Should that not be a concern? From PD in Dallas.
No. I don't believe so.
Really?
No.
You sure about that?
Yes.
Why? Because I think it should be a concern.
A concern that these guys haven't thrown in cold weather?
Yeah.
No.
I mean, guys...
Did Aaron Rodgers throw in cold weather?
Right.
In college?
Johnny Manziel throw in cold weather?
I don't think that's... I just don't think it matters. I think if you can throw the football... Teddy Bridgewater never thrown in cold weather. He did fine up there in Minnesota. I just don't think it matters that much. No, that is not
did
a concern
Bortles?
To me. Well, Bortles is in Jacksonville.
But I mean, at no point did you contemplate where you pick him?
Because he was big.
Right.
And he was big. And big guys are naturally better in the cold. Now, Tom Brady is not a big guy. Tall, yes, not a big guy. Aaron Rodgers, not a big guy either. And they play in Green Bay, Wisconsin, and New England. And they're both fine.
Jay Cutler, not a big guy, plays in Chicago.
Yeah.
All right. Speaking of quarterbacks, Rick tweets at the show at Browns_daily, #AskCBD. Hugh Jackson was important in developing Joe Flacco and other young QBs. Has he ever mentioned which style of QB he prefers?
If you listen to what he says, I would say that he has said it. He wants a quarterback that can process information quickly, that's got a good arm, that can make all the throws, that is intelligent and a great leader. I think he's a guy that needs he wants that prototypical pocket passer. That's what in my mind, that's exactly what he is looking for.
All right, guys. Let's see. From Ted. Interesting question here. Given the reportedly good season that Jabal Sheard has had, does that mean a higher compensatory pick in the upcoming draft?
I believe it's based on salary and performance, so yes. And I think it just goes to show how effective that – it just goes to show, in my opinion, how effective he is as a 4-3 DN. Remember, he had 14.5 sacks his first 2 years in Cleveland as a 4-3 DN, and that's how he was used by the Patriots. We were forcing him into, playing a position that wasn't suited to him. A 3-4 outside linebacker is not who he was.
No.
Can you explain the difference in it? Why? Because we talk about these guys all the time. 4-3 DN projects to a 3-4 backer. What are the differences? It's not just your hand on the ground.
Right. One of the big differences, and in some cases it is slightly the hand on the ground, is the guys that can play very well in a 3-point stance, they're like exploding out of a cannon, and they use that as an advantage. And you saw DeMarcus Ware, who plays in a 3-4 defense in Wade Phillips, a lot like Armonte Bryant, is in the game as an outside linebacker, but where was he lining up against the Patriots?
Yeah.
In a 3-point stance, because his get-off, which actually won him, a sack one time, hit the quarterback two other times out of a 3-point stance, it's their ability to convert from being at a stall or a standing point, in a stance still, and to get to top speed in two steps out of a 3-point, which a lot of guys struggle with in a 2-point. They just can't get off the football. And then, what it does, you're going low to high. So when you're going against Joe Thomas or a tackle that can absorb or that is a big mauler, you're able to develop a lot of power out of a 3-point. So speed and power and low to high leverage into that offensive tackle as you attack him. Whereas a 2-point stance, you're already high. You're then having to drop your body to win it with leverage out of a two-point stance.
Why can't a 3-4 outside linebacker play in a three-point stance?
They can. I mean, in today's, you know, today's NFL, a lot of them.
But why is it typically standing up position versus the D end, which is hand on the ground?
Because a lot of a 3-4 defense, when a guy's in a three-point stance, there's a high likelihood he's not going to be a dropper. So you lose the illusion and the deception of a 3-4 defense. As I kind of talked about in preparation for the Patriots, if I'm in a three-point stance, odds are good I'm coming.
Okay.
Because for me to get in a three-point stance and then get up out of that stance and to be able to visually get to my drop and be aware, you know, within that defense is very difficult for me to do. But when I'm up, I can look. Oh, the wide receiver's got a cut split. They're bringing a guy in motion. The back's offset to the left. I can understand where my landmarks are. Out of a three-point stance, it's very difficult to do. That's why some guys that do, they have the high butt in the air with a fingertip on the ground because they're already predetermining that I'm not coming. And if you don't think the same way that an offensive tackle or we look at an offensive tackle in a pass set versus a run set, if you don't think they're looking at us and is he coming or is he not, if I'm down grinding my toes into the ground as in a three-point stance, I'm coming. But if I'm not and I'm just in my stance, I'm probably not coming, or I'm stunting, or I'm dropping.
Well, you got to just make sure you got to do things the same way. That's the whole point.
You can't. And that's why they put you in a two-point stance. Because I can come or drop in the same stance.
Okay.
That's a big difference in a 3-4. So it's a lot of it about the deception.
Pitcher coming in right now from Browns head coach Hugh Jackson, watching the quarterbacks warm up at the Senior Bowl, standing right next to him on his left hip. Sashi Brown.
I saw the picture too of PJB, Hugh Jackson, Sashi Brown, and I'm like,
what's PJB doing there?
What's he doing there? That's what I said.
Handling, maybe there are a lot of interview requests since they're both down there together.
Sure. Yeah.
Probably handling a lot of that stuff.
But it was just odd to see the three of them sitting in a row.
According to Mary Kay Cabot, Hugh Jackson has not yet talked to Johnny Manziel, but he will. Quote, he wasn't in the first batch of guys he's talked to.
Rightfully so.
It's not, I don't think it's a priority. As Sashi said, they don't need to do anything right now other than nothing can happen with Johnny Manziel till March. I think they're just trying to go ahead and give him time to either cement his fate one way or the other and see what he's going to do.
Which, you weren't necessarily in tune to the internet down in Disney.
Are there more videos?
But there are more videos. Two videos.
So what do you, like, is in your mind, is that it? Is that it?
Yes.
Are you done?
Yeah. Pros and cons. Put them on the board. What are the pros of Johnny Manziel?
He might be able to play. In the first round.
He might be able to play in the NFL.
Right.
The con, he might not. Okay. Loves the party. He's already been to rehab. Defies order.
Yeah, and Sashi keeps saying in the interviews, you know, he's got to show that this is the most important thing in the world to him.
IG, Twitter.
Good luck.
Most important things to Johnny Manziel.
Good luck with that. Good luck with that. Anything else in the mailbag, Gibbs?
Oh, yeah. We got a few more guys.
Let's go.
David music Whitman. Is so good. Let's just keep it going.
It's fantastic mood setting. David Whitman tweets at the show.
You trash on the NWO theme and then come back with this. This is unbelievable.
Isn't it great? The Beast amazing. Treadwell seems to be dropping in all mock drafts. Why?
No clue, but maybe something will come out that the teams know about already that people don't know about. But fine, let them drop. Drop right to 32 and let's go.
Amen to that.
Amen.
SC
yeah, that.
Tweets at the show, assuming Goff and a high-quality wide receiver are drafted, should we draft Lawler from Cal and another quarterback like Prescott?
Dak Prescott from Mississippi State? I wouldn't mind if Dak Prescott was the second quarterback we drafted. I like his game. If we draft Lawler from Cal, you know where I stand on this. And
Goff.
Or whoever they, if they think it's Wentz, if they, whatever. Yes, quarterback. We need a quarterback. It's important.
Take a couple.
Yeah, I'm fine with that.
Take a couple, man.
But get one.
It's all good, man.
Throw him in a hat.
Hey, man, we average 3 or 4 a year. So
this is true.
Let's just grab a couple.
Develop a couple at the same time.
Yep, exactly. Tommy. I'm not even going to try to pronounce your last name because I'd screw it up. Anyways.
Bahama.
Interesting question. Anyway, Pro Bowl played midseason like MLB, NBA, NHL.
No.
Get rid of the bye weeks and all teams get a break at the same time, rotate location.
No, you need players to play in that football game, don't you? So they're not necessarily getting a break. So you're telling me that the reward for being the best player in the NFL is to not get a bye week and risk an injury? That's crazy.
That's what it sounds like.
Yeah.
I'm just reading the question.
Try again.
Andy Shepherd. We'll end on this one today, guys. Will Ray Horton give Mingo an opportunity to play safety? Pierre Woods said it. I think it's genius. Size and speed of Atwater.
No.
Why?
Why?
Sure.
The scenario that has happened a few times in my career in San Diego was whenever we as linebackers would basically turn around and blame the safeties for a miscommunication or a blown coverage or how do you get run by in cover two when you've only got one threat. And you know, whether it be in the meeting room or on the field, the one thing that Greg Minuski, who's now the linebackers coach with the Redskins, been a coordinator a few other places, he would always do in practice, and Wade Phillips would always give him the nod like, it's okay. That safety that you just ripped would come up and play your linebacker spot, and you as a linebacker would go back to safety, and it is an entirely different world. We just talked about 5 minutes ago players that can't make plays with their hands on the ground to a two-point stance or a two-point stance to the hand on the ground. You're going to take a guy that plays a yard off the line of scrimmage or at worst 4 yards off the line and put him back at 12? I don't care who the athlete is. LeBron James couldn't play safety in the National Football League.
I'm open to finding any way to get success out of him.
Line him up as a wide receiver in the red zone, and I'll jump everybody.
I'm open
whatever.
To anything. Anything. I just want to get some value out of him. Because I think that's what I don't think that's what we've gotten at all. So that's what I want to. That's what I hope to get at some point. Get some kind of value at him. I feel like you've got to, right? You got to try and find a way to get something out of Arkivius Mingo. And until you do, I just don't think that you're where you want to be. So if that's what it is, if it's safety, fine. If it's receiver, fine. Something, anything. You know what I'm saying? You agree with that, Gibbs? Is that what you're saying? What are you saying?
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, I just
I
punt
totally
returner,
agree.
Whatever.
I agree. No, yeah. It sounds great in theory. A little tougher to actually.
But the thing about that all being said is, if we're talking about every position but the position he's been drafted to play here, he's expensive next year, being a first round pick.
You got to find a way to get something out of him while he's here, and then you deal with it after that. But to me, you got to find out something. You got to find something with him.
I think we found out a lot. It's just not very good.
So far, it has not been good.
Wow.
But this was Ray Horton, if I'm not mistaken, was who he was drafted to be with, right?
Yes, sir.
So,
and he actually got something out of him that rookie year.
Early on.
Sack week one, right?
Yep.
Against the Baltimore Ravens, I believe.
Just saying.
It was week 2, right? It was week 2.
Yeah.
Because he got hurt against the Lions in the preseason.
Yep, exactly.
And then he had a sack, yeah. He looked, I remember, notorious VIC, and I said, shades of Derek Thomas with the shoulder lean. Oh!
Where'd that go?
Where'd who go?
Where'd who go? All right, we'll be back a little after further review here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.
You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Let's go to the Ohio Business Machines hotline now and bring in John Pollard, Managing Director of Analytics for the Real Football Network. John, welcome to the show. Thanks for being with us.
Hey, guys. Thank you for having me on. I appreciate it.
I know you're down there at the Senior Bowl today, but before we talk about that, let's just start off with your thought on what the Browns are doing with Sashi Brown, and then, of course, the hiring of Paul DePodesta, as it fits kind of in that analytic framework, that world that you work in and live in. What did you think of those moves?
Well, you know what? It's interesting. As soon as the hirings were announced, I definitely got a lot of incoming traffic via email and phone calls from different people across the league about my thoughts. And here's what I think. I always thought the term, you know, and just for some context for the listeners, you know, I was general manager at Stats for over 5 years, running their football practice for both the NFL and college football. And before that, I helped invent a player evaluation software solution using stats and analytics with the New Orleans Saints. The first year they used it was in 2009. So the word analytics, I think, is a bit of a red herring. analytics is just an ingredient element of statistics and use of statistics and analytics and technology are things that work well together. But when I think about the hirings that the Cleveland Browns have done, you've hired two executives who have very, very strong capabilities, certainly in the quant area of statistics and analytics, but it's the thinking process. It's about being more information-driven as an organization, and then it's the communication of that information and how that flows across personnel and coaching and down to the players that's really important, and I think that the hirings in Cleveland are really strong hires, in my opinion.
And, John, as you look at the Cleveland Browns as a franchise for the last 16 years, they've been lost with very little success. Obviously, Jimmy Haslam is doing everything he can to recreate a process that he believes will work, that is sustainable and revolutionary. What would you imagine, the use of analytics and the addition of Paul DePodesta and some of the first things that he's going to do here to use, who he is and what he does very well to an advantage of the Cleveland Browns?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, I think for me, working with clubs, so I worked with over 26 NFL clubs and over 50 college football programs, and also worked across other sports as well. The bottom line is professional and collegiate organizations, even the best brands and the best teams that we can think of, they're all challenged to utilize the assets that they currently own, whether it's their scouting information or statistics and analytics that they generate themselves or they get from other partners. And I think someone like Paul, coming from the baseball world, that's a very distributed type of business, right? You have minor leaguers at different levels. You have different international areas where you have to scout players. So the concept and the ability to think about information across a very broad spectrum and accumulate that and then, again, be able to assess it and manage it is really important. I think that type of structured thinking, if I may, is something that can be played very well in football. But, again, it's always important I qualify this, no matter what my role is in talking about stats and analytics. Stats and numbers aren't just tables and graphs. It's all about being more information-driven, thinking about a stronger decision process to reference and leverage all assets available to you. And again, I would think that Paul, coming from the baseball world, the type of structure that baseball provides, it's different than football, I think could be a strength and an opportunity for the Cleveland Browns organization.
Certainly hope so. Talking with John Pollard now, who is at the Senior Bowl. And John, what are some of the key takeaways? Obviously the big name down there, Carson Wentz, it's almost turned into the Carson Wentz Bowl. What have you seen from him? I see some of the reports on Twitter, they say he's not having as good a day today. What have you seen from him? And what do you think about his prospects for the pros? And how difficult is it to evaluate a guy from North Dakota State?
Yeah, that's a great question. So yesterday, Carson had a very good day. And I would say, so far in this practice, perhaps to grade each practice, one by one, that's a challenging thing to think about. But, perhaps he hasn't had the best day or a day that was similar to yesterday. But the general consensus that I've talked about with the people that I'm friendly with and the conversations that happen after the practice is that he's shown enough in terms of physicality to solidify a very high potential, draft pick, potentially and most likely a first-round draft pick. I wouldn't put too much emphasis on today's practice. So I think he's strong. And again, you can imagine at the end of two practices, everybody's in the same hotel. There's lots of hallway discussions, and I think he's really shown himself pretty well, and people feel very convinced that he can compete at the NFL level effectively. And evaluating these players, when you got a guy from North Dakota State, I mean, we covered a lot when I was at Stats. We covered many of the programs across the FBS and the major six power conferences and added Sunbelt, MAC, and USA. We didn't have a lot of information on someone like Jimmy Garoppolo 2 years ago,
yep,
for instance, or Carson Wentz. So in those cases, what we'll do or have done in the past is work specifically with teams who will provide us the game film, and then our reporters would go through their grading process just to generate all that information. And that's what clubs do today. When these smaller program guys come out, they do typically, ask a service provider like a Stats to go through the game video and generate the extra analytics.
Talking with John Pollard. John, when you look at a guy like Jared Goff, how does he come out on your analytics and in terms of the things that you do kind of into the numbers and beyond what is just there on the game film?
Well, he certainly falls in the top 6 to 8 quarterbacks across the major metrics that the personnel evaluators like to look at. In terms of the quarterbacks. We have it, and just to qualify, we have, certainly his pass attempts and touchdowns and interceptions, but we look at things like air yards and what's the average ball distance in the air and taking the yak out. We look at information about where they distribute passes at various depths and different vertical segments across the field. and Goff is in that top 5 to 6 or 5 to 8 quarterbacks. But I would say in terms of the overall numbers, Paxton Lynch from Memphis is the guy that tends to stand out amongst all the quarterbacks in terms of pure numbers.
Interesting.
John, I would assume this is not your Senior Bowl, but yet you bring that analytical approach in the evaluations of the guys, which is why you're down there. That all being said, I would imagine that newly appointed Executive Vice President of Football Operations, Sashi Brown, who doesn't necessarily have a lot of history in creating an eye for talent, would in your time at the Senior Bowl, would you imagine that this is the first step towards Sashi Brown, who brings the numbers and the education to making the decisions for a football franchise, that this is a big step to help him, get a look, to sit next to Hugh Jackson and maybe have conversations with other general managers, other talent evaluators to understand, what he's looking at to grow that eye and become a football guy as well?
Yeah, there couldn't be a better place, maybe outside the combine, than the Senior Bowl here in Mobile to have that opportunity. And you're hitting upon something that I think is extremely important culturally, when you numbers, software, technologies, performance and strength technologies, whatever it is, you really need to be able to communicate and have synergy in the building. That I'm convinced of. You can buy as much statistics and generate as much analytics as you want. If you have a culture that is not conducive to good communication across the aisle in terms of personnel and coaching, and there's not a lot of synergy there, the value and the impact of those information services or those technological advances are minimized. So if it was I do work and consult with clubs, I would suggest having Sashi getting with the football people and then really trying to just glean what information is important to them, where do they feel like they could get more information, and then have him put his experience in terms of information and being more of a structured type of thinker around data and communication capabilities and apply that to what he's hearing from the audience. That would be my recommendation. If it was I coming in a role like Sashi's, I want to sit with the football guys and ask a heck of a lot of questions, understand what they're looking for, understand what they fear in terms of impediment or perhaps perception of what analytics means,
sure,
gather as much information as possible, and then introduce what I would try to be much more structured and really try to take advantage of all the information assets that are available. Guys, it's amazing to be in a building with professional organizations and they literally aren't even aware of stuff that they have in their own databases, if I may.
Yeah.
Or how to, it's I've literally seen, and not so much the last few years, I've literally seen an owner roll up a ball of reports or a group of reports and hit, not hard, but just like, gosh, we shouldn't have known that, somebody in the personnel department because they didn't even know they had access to the information that I myself was showing them. They had it in their own building.
And that's one of the things that Paul DePodesta sees his role as being is the guy that, he understands how to take all this information. They streamline it so they can generate consistently better outcomes out of that. And you're right, it is interesting. Looking back on things, what did you think of Johnny Manziel coming out?
Well, his numbers showed very well. I mean, he performed very well in a number of ways. He obviously had a lot of big plays, and big explosive plays that we can define at different ranges of 20 plus yards and 25 plus yards. He created a lot of offense, obviously with his mobility and athleticism. He, because of that, his elusiveness, he was able to reduce the amount of pressures and sacks. So his athleticism and strength and capabilities really showed well in the numbers. Then, of course, you have to marry that with traditional scouting methods, looking at the film work and going through the interviews and things. But in terms of pure production numbers, athletically, the numbers translated to a guy that can actually, absolutely compete at the NFL level athletically. Of course, other things have to come into play with that.
Yes.
Think about system and talent around them and all the other things in terms of overall culture and growth as a player at the professional level. So I had him ranked extremely high. I still am convinced that he can produce at the NFL level, certainly athletically, and he put great numbers up in college.
He did. John, we appreciate the time. Enjoy everything down in Mobile here. It's a little chilly. Hope it'll warm up for you as you take in the rest of the Senior Bowl.
Well, as long as it's not raining, guys, we're all feeling pretty good down here. Thanks so much for having me on. And
you got it. You got
next year.
Our pleasure. Thank you very much. We'll take all the support we can get. Let's go. John Pollard, our guest there, the Managing Director of Analytics from the Real Football Network, which is a great thing. You and I watched some of those videos, Pat Kerwin, Bill Cowher, breaking down the 3-4, the 4-3. It's actually a very, very cool thing to check out if
Hit
you haven't
up, John.
Gotten the chance to see it.
I'll teach you football.
Yeah, boy, let's go. All right, when we come back, final thoughts as we wrap it up here on this hump day edition of Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.
You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
All right, final thoughts. You know, when you hear a guy like John Pollard talk about how he's been working with NFL teams and the Saints used it back in the 2009 draft, you realize that everything that the Browns are doing here is not all that radical. They're just making sure that they got the best guy to do it and get in on that analytics thing that really is, when you look at the way that Bill Belichick operates in New England Patriots, that's analytics.
Yeah.
Where he's deciding to put his resources, that's it's problem
the
solving.
It's problem solving. The best way to think about it is it's a seat at the table. You know, whether it's a whether it's a computer through virtual reality, or it's Paul D. Podesta and his processes and the analytics and the data that he's come up with between today and the draft, or today in free agency, or today and the approach to this to the 2016 season. Whatever it is, it's a seat at the table here in Cleveland now, and it's had a seat at the table in many other franchises, not only in football, for many years.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I think that it's going to be something that goes on forward and is going to be something that becomes bigger. And I think a lot of people around the NFL are looking at it. By the way, Eric Galco from Optimum Scouting says, Braxton Miller crushed it again today. Top 40 may not be optimistic enough. He'll be in a lot of my first-round mocks drafts after the Senior Bowl performance.
Wow.
Whoa. Yikes. And apparently Carson Wentz didn't have a great day today, but I think he's at this point, given the position that he plays, the size, what he's bringing, he's a guy, he's locked into the first round. I'm not worried about that. We'll see what happens there. Thanks for being with us. I'll be gone again tomorrow, back on Friday with Matt and the kid. By the way, Carolina Panthers victory. Do you know what that sealed?
Ooh, yeah, the prime rib and the lobster and the crab. Yeah, the macho man.
So you can't lose.
It's over.
So wait, I took
Carolina and New England. So I just needed one of them to win.
Yeah, you're right. Okay, gotcha. All right.
It's over. Yeah, 1, 2, 3. Miss Elizabeth.
That'll do it for us here on Cleveland Browns Daily. Stay tuned for the Golden Boys. We've got to thank John Pollard, Sir Andrew Gribble, for Gibbs, Matt Wilhelm. I'm Nathan Zagura saying thanks for listening to Cleveland Browns Daily.
Driven by Liberty Ford.
The preceding program was a production of the Cleveland Browns and a part of the Browns Media Network.